Very best of thanks to Crave Designs for sponsoring the first 5 rounds of the Community Night podcast. Absolutely beautiful water features that you can buy on the worldwide internet. There's a banner in the show there. Hit that Crave Designs banner and order yourself one of these bloody amazing water features. Thanks again to Crave Designs for their beautiful support of our community. Go to the internet site www.cravedesigns.com.au and buy yourself a piece of water featurage history.
That's right, fans of AFL Fantasy Football. It's time for the People's Prince, the father of fantasy, and everybody's favorite humble genius, Jock Riddles. Over to you, Jock.
G'day, community. Can you smell it? Can you smell it in the air? It's the end of the week. There's a round of fantasy footy just around the corner. We're hurtling like savage bloody wildebeest towards another round of this game we love, of fantasy footy, of Supercoach and of majesty. Welcome to the Community Night Podcast. Bloody great to have you listening, and we've got some beautiful wisdom to get through this evening. Teams are in. Teams are in. Can you smell them? Oh, they've dropped. They've hit the table. And I can tell you, Chris Judd is in. Patrick Karnoosis is in. Tommy Mitchell. Thank Christ that bloke is playing in an AFL footy team, because I'll tell you right now, he's best 18 in any bloody team bar Sydney right now. He needs to be on the park delivering us filthy, dirty Supercoach significance. Welcome back, Barry Mitchell, son. Robbie Gray is in the 25-man squad. Thank Christ for that. He must be under some sort of late withdrawal cloud. I'm not sure if he's subject to a last-minute fitness test, but we'll have to wait and see. Matty Crouch from Adelaide just quietly slips back into the Adelaide outfit. Young Corey Ellis from Richmond, I'm interested to see this kid. He's a 167 grand midfielder and he's talented. Corey Ellis from Richmond, if he puts out a decent output and shows Damien Hardwick some good effort today, I'd suggest that he could get some good job security, because there's bloody changes in the wind down at Richmond Town. Still no Brett Delidio out. Isaac bloody Heaney, ankle out. Mitch Clark, foot out. What did we want of Mitch Clark? Going back to the pre-season, what did we want out of him? All we wanted was 5 or 6 games. The question's been bloody asked and it's been answered now. Nah, we're not getting. Apparently he's back next week, but we'll wait and see, because when you see foot on a big bastard, you think weeks. So let's wait and see. Nakia Cockatoo's out. Zach Smith is out. Nick Malcheski out. Brendan Whitecross and Scotty Lysette are out.
G'day, Jock. Wet Dog here, mate. How are we? Loving the community podcast. So they've made it pretty simple for us this weekend, and that is Heaney down to Cracker, Clark down to Tarrant. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be hesitant because they're rookies and they still have cash to make, but let's be honest, most of our teams have 15 rookies making cash right now. We can cull too early. We all knew Clark was going to go down with injury at some point in time. We knew that. I'm surprised it took this long, to be honest. And Heaney, I'm sure he'll be back in next week, but there's just, that 7's going to stay in his average. We don't need him. There's other players making cash. And just a little shout out to my mate Corey Ellis, whom I broke the news today that he'd be debuting, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'm not here for your praise. I'm not here for your praise that I'm breaking news, but anyway, well, I'm here for your praise a little bit. Anyway, Jock, I love it. Also, Smokey, just a crazy thought. I'm looking at him, been looking at him from all year. And the preseason, that's Colin Garland. I know it's madness, averaging 92, had 160, 200 pluses, and 90. So I'm having a look at him, 397k, with McDonald copping some attention. Perhaps it gives Garland a little bit of freedom. I don't know. Anyway, that's long. Too long. This message is too long.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Lick Dog. Now, Lick Dog was down there at the Richmond Football Club today, and he did break that news that Corey Ellis was training and he looks set to play this weekend. Lick Dog is rising like a phoenix out of the ashes as a significant spectre of hope for the future of the media and the journalism in this country of ours. And it's a bloody great honour to have you on, mate. Wonderful call in, son. That's the theme of the thing tonight. Theme of the thing, Nathan Cracker, priority training target. Robbie Tarrant up forward, Also, although there are some with their doubts, as we'll get to, priority trade-in rookie. Both rookies on the bubble. They're sitting there about to pop and their price is about to go absolute apeshit. If there's an issue around them, it's the issue is around some people wondering who they're going to trade out. As Lex said, for some, the decision's been made pretty bloody easy with now Mitch Clark and Heaney out. But we've got a fair bit to unpack here tonight before we make that decision, community. Let's do it together.
G'day, Uncle Jock. This is Kamish. Just trying to keep the voice down because the missus is in the next room doing some homework. And speaking of homework, I've done some homework on Mr. Robbie Tarrant. Now, just like his big brother Chris, he likes a night out, he likes to sink tins, and he loves the weight rooms. But unlike Chris, Robbie's arms fall out at the nearest break of a twig, and he's soft as butter. Warning, community, do not, repeat, do not get on the Robbie Tarrant train. Kamish out.
There you have the intelligence from the commission. That's the knock on the Tarrant boy. The injuries, and so what appears to be a very simple decision. Mitch Clark, oh yeah, we were bloody dodgy on him, weren't we? We were waiting for him just to get bloody injured, weren't we? Is he just out the 1 week? Are you going to trade him to bloody Robbie Tarrant, whose arm's going to fall off because there's a stiff southerly breeze? Commiss, by the way, wonderful respect for your missus who's doing her homework and all of you listening out there. I hope your partner's equally as respectful when you're doing your fantasy studies. It needs to be done in real silence sometimes, so I hope you're being afforded that respect by your significant others out there. So there we go. So Mitch Clark, you know, he started to make us a bit of money. He's starting to plump up just that little bit, just to get a little bit of flubber around the thigh and the midriff. Could be a worthy, you know, get rid of him just coming into the buys. He's made a bit of cash. So are we just going to take a little bit of cash off him now, are we? And we're going to go to Robbie Tarrant. Robbie Tarrant, whose bloody femur could break in half if he sits on the bench too hard. And I'm not telling your community not to get Tarrant in, because bloody hell, the kid scored 120-odd. He's about to go rocket up in price. But all I'm saying is I think we have to put some real thought into these decisions.
Hi, Jock. Higo Crouching. Thanks for the work that you do on your podcast. Really like it. Question for you. Do you think it's worth trading Daniel Rich to bring in Cracker? I know people are talking about Salem and Heaney, but I just feel that Rich may have come to the end of his scoring.
Good on you, Martin. Thanks for the call in, mate. Now, I reckon you hold on to Rich, mate. I think going Rich, for one thing, going Rich to Cracker. At the end of the day, yeah, Cracker scored 82 and 82, but I don't think we can expect that every week. Daniel Rich gives you real point scoring capacity, and I just think you're weakening yourself too much. Look at Rich, mate. His break even's only 75 odd. Three of his scores have been comfortably above that. I think he's had 126, 193, 74 on the weekend. So, nah, I wouldn't be moving Rich on, mate. If you've got Heaney, obviously, now with Heaney out, I'd have no hesitations on the Heaney. Like Dog mentioned before, Heaney's got that 7. We know he's out for a week now and he's going to come back, and then that 7 stays in that 3-week rolling price calculation. So we're not going to get much out of Heaney by the buys at all. And there's no guarantees. Now with Tommy Mitchell back, Tom Mitchell is a serious footballer. There's no job security guarantees at all when Isaac Heaney comes back, and that vest would just beckon. So, no, I'd hold on to Daniel Rich, mate. You know, and the other thing, of course, is Daniel Rich. If you go on Daniel Rich, you want to, if anything, later in the season, upgrade him once to a premium. By doing what you're proposing a Daniel Rich, and you're proposing Dan and Nathan Cracker, who you'll end up trading. So there, you've changed yourself into a two-trade paradigm to a three-trade paradigm, mate. I don't like it. I like the way you're working through things in your cortex, mate. Don't get me wrong. I love the way you sort of just, you're not going on the straight and narrow path. You're going off and you're asking questions like, why not? You're challenging the paradigms, and I like that, mate. But I would hold on to Daniel Rich.
G'day, fellas. My dilemma this week, do I trade out Tom Bell Chambers and Nathan Van Berlo for Crack and Tarrant, build up my wall chest for the next couple of weeks to upgrade to premiums, or hold on to Nathan Van Berlo, trade out Tom Lamb, and have less of a war chest but still be making money on my bench. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, I was arguing with Aldo over the back fence about Tommy Bell Chambers. There's two camps here. I'm very confident and very happy in my decision to hold on to Tom Bell Chambers. And that's evidenced by the fact at the moment he's plugging a hole that bloody skinflute Minchin isn't going to plug. We know Minchin is out again this week. We've got a couple of calls coming in about that. So Tom Bell Chambers, while he's only cranking us out 60s, I do believe his capacity will grow. I'm not sure how much, but it will grow. He's providing a very important structural role, which we'll all need. If you haven't had any ruck carnage yet, get ready for it. Mark my words. So I don't like your Tom Bell Chambers prediction because I'm just not sure you'll have that coverage for your ruck moving forward, mate. Nathan Van Berlow, yeah, his break even's about 65 and his score's petering off. His role won't be as lucrative moving forward, so I'd be pretty comfortable with that Nathan Van Berlow move and definitely the Tom Lamb, mate. Tom Lamb straight to Robbie Tarrant, no dramas whatsoever there, mate.
Hi, Jock, it's Derek here. Big thank you for all the help this year. My team's looking pretty good. I've just made the one trade, and that was Gaz down to JPK, so got plenty of trades left and a nice little war chest in the bank. This week, looks like everyone's going to be jumping on Cracker and Tarrant to bolster up their rookie list. What a great year this has been for rookies, and I think everyone just needs to think about the rookies they've already got now and let them fatten up. I see people thinking about trading Salem across to Cracker and Nathan Van Berlow and all these other people that really haven't fattened up yet from one rookie across to another one. The problem we're going to have over the next few weeks is people are going to have to try and get Selwood in, Beams, Rocklip, Ablett. All these fallen premiums are going to be coming down in price and be ready to be plucked. What we need to do is to fatten up the rookies we've got now, nice and juice and fat, and send them off to the slaughterhouse so we're going to have a nice war chest for when these fallen premiums come along. Otherwise, you won't have the money available. You'll miss out on some of these guys when they get to the right price, and people still be trying to get their rookies up to fattening price. I wouldn't be rushing too many more in. I'd be looking at the ones you've got now and let's lean them fatten up. Thanks, Jock.
Good on you, Derek. And isn't it bloody refreshing to have a different point of view on things? We might not all agree, but some of us will, and I think that's definite food for thought. We do have a lot of rookies who are doing very well, and at the end of the season, when you look back at your trades, you'll discover that there's only a certain amount of rookies that you can cull while you're building up a super premium team. So perhaps we shouldn't fall over ourselves as much to get those rookies in. Although, having said that, Cracker, I really do believe you have to get in. 82-82, and he's got that forward mid-edgel ability, but I can well see the case for Tarrant. Just letting him slip through to the keeper, that's a big call. But when you look at someone like Christian Salem, who you mentioned there, Derek, his break-even's only 10-odd. It's not like he's completely soiling the jock every weekend. You know, he scored a solid 80-odd last week, and he's probably a bit up and down, but looking to work into the game. Yeah, he's got Frio this Sunday, which mightn't be too good, but perhaps we're overexcited on the arousal curve a bit. I happen to have Nathan Cracker. I've had him since day one. I will have a long, hard think about the Mitch Clark to Robbie Tarrant move, but I must say, I'm not tapping myself on the chin, if you know what I'm talking about. I'll definitely look very long and hard at getting Tarrant in this weekend, but I don't think it's the sort of thing that we should be just moving rookies on prematurely for. Although, having said that, look, there's very valid grounds again. Mitch Clark, injured, foot, bad. Isaac Heaney, 7, ankle, Sydney, Tom Mitchell, question marks. So there's very valid claims to get these boys in. But goodness me, what a refreshing perspective there, Derek.
G'day, Jock. It's Trent here. I'm currently coming 20th overall, mate, so I need your advice and I need your wisdom. How does one go for an overall win? I've never focused on this before. Do I keep going for the rookie strategy, keep trading out players and bringing guys like Robbie Tarrant or Nathan Cracker? I've only used one trade so far, so I'm thinking that might be the way to go. Yeah, appreciate your advice, mate. I've never done overall strategy before, but geez, wouldn't mind that 50k.
Good on you, Trent. 20th overall. Wonderful, wonderful work. And look, I've been counselling blokes in your exact position for many, many years, and I'll always tell them the same thing. What got you to the position, mate? You know, don't overthink things. Look at each trade in isolation. If you think Cracker is a good trade and he's going to make lots of cash for you to use later on, do it. If you think Robbie Tarrant's a good thing, do it. You just got to keep backing your constitution. Don't get the old, oh shit, I'm up the top and I've got to make five crazy moves. It's a long season. Play the percentages. But one thing I will say, mate, if you want to win the 50 grand, you are going to have to make one or two very gutsy trades at some stage. At this stage of the season, mate, I'd prefer you just play the percentages because you've obviously got a very robust team. Don't do anything too bloody Coco Cabanas, but just look for your opportunity to just twist the knife with a genius trade at some stage. Very best of luck, mate.
G'day, Jock. Simo here. Me, like a lot of other people, have Will Minson sitting on the bench. Now that he's been deposed by Ace the Space Cadet Cordy at 480k, it's a lot of cash to have sitting on the bench. I haven't seen the teams yet, but he could quite possibly be still stuck in the emergencies. Is now the time to move him on? That's a lot of cash that could be utilised elsewhere. Thanks, mate.
I'm concerned about our flute-wielding friend. I mean, it's not as if Minson's the sort of bloke that would be dropped for, to get a rocket up him or anything like that. He's a senior player and he's got a good attitude, so that's not the problem. You know, comments from Beveridge during the week saying, Will understands that if we're losing that position, he might not be the number one. This is concerning. And I'll be putting some consideration into moving Minson on. A lot of that might hinge on, A, whether you got backup there. You don't want to go in with a donut, so you might want to make that move now if that's the case. I've got Tommy Bell Chambers to stick up there, so I can test the waters for another week, see if the minnow comes back the following week and then just see how he goes. But, yeah, I think it should be a priority. I think it's almost time we make the decision to move Will Minson on. Depending whether you do it this week or wait and see what happens might depend on how keen you are on getting Tarrant and Cracker in. But yeah, it's a concern.
Hey Jock, Franzi here. I started with the skin flute Minson, thinking he would be a solid ruck selection. As I chose not to have ruck covering the forward line with TBC or Ryder, I was left with no other option than to trade him out of the back of him being dropped and replaced as number one ruckman. I decided on Zach Smith as his replacement. His recent performances were solid and expected the same output as he would be the number one ruck at the Suns. Now he's been dropped and Tom Nicholls has taken his place. What should I do now, Jock? Trade to a primo keeper in Avant or a potentially risky POD in Brody Grundy? Thanks, Jock. Keep up the outstanding work.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for the call in. And there's the worry with your rucks, isn't it? I know Minson, we're now getting more clarity on where he stands, re number one ruck position. But I just wanted to slip that one in just to highlight what can happen in your ruck when you move these boys on. He went Minson to Zach Smith. Zach Smith's out, and now he's in a conundrum. And trades are going by the wayside, and he's forced to reassess other priorities, such as getting these rookie boys in. So whichever way you go, be very cautious. Now, young fella, mate, in your situation, Brody Grundy I'm not happy with because I can just see that likelihood of you having to move him on as well. Whatever you do, look for someone robust, look for someone reliable, look for someone that's going to hit the park week in, week out. Just go conservative as you can on a solid option. I don't know if you've got the cash, and Goldstein looks to be a very safe number one ruck selection, but are you chasing his points? Is he appreciated to his peak? Have you got the money to do that? Would you still be happy if he doesn't quite continue this output, which he may well not? These are the questions you have to ask. I'd be going for a safe, premium, reliable option though, mate.
G'day, Jock and community. It's Dex here. Heaney and Clark are out. What do we do? Providing you don't have any long-term injury and you've already got Cracker, I'd suggest only one trade this week, but two if you don't have Cracker and Tarrant. So we need Tarrant in. Negative 142 break-even says it all. We need to get him in. Either by swinging Cracker or Lambert into the guts for Heaney, or if you don't have either Cracker or Lambert, drop Clark. Now, I say Heaney first because he has a break-even of 35, meaning his gross is not going to be anywhere near as much. That's even if he gets back anytime soon. He got 7 points, 7 Supercoach points in almost a half of football. So providing, or even if he wasn't injured, he would have more than likely been dropped anyway. So We need to remember that that 7 stays in his 3-week average, which is not going to do him any good. And Clark, yes, he's injured, but apparently the injury is to his other foot, not the one that caused all his problems at Melbourne. The Cats have him listed as a 1-week prospect, so I've heard. Hold him. I don't need a trade Cracker in this week because last week I got him in. I dropped McGrath for him. Normally I would have said wait until he was on the bubble, but I had 3 donuts last week in McGrath, Gray and Lambert. So I was forced to make a trade, and for me, Cracker was the safest option. If you have Lambert, don't trade him. I say this because I've got this little rule. Don't spend money to get a rookie. Trading to anyone, even Cracker from Lambert, will cost you money. Just don't do it. Rookies should always make you money, not cost you money. I think the best trade to be done is Heaney to Tarrant via a swing set, if you don't have Cracker either, and you have to trade, get Heaney to Cracker and Clark to Tarrant. So you'll make, you know, 100 or 110 grand or something like that. So it's a better way than trading out Lambert and spending money. Also, if you have Nunes, keep him. Trading him now only cements your loss. Cheers.
Thank you, Dexter, for your call in. Just a late one just popped into the old email inbox. Lo and behold, what's the name associated with it? Bloody Dexter. Of course, now I'm assuming if you listen to the podcast, you've got your nose into the site day in, day out. Dexter puts up the Dex files every week. He takes one selection that's just a little bit left of centre and he drills into that thing with statistical precision. And it's wonderful to have your Dexter in the inner sanctum. Also, just in case you're not aware, Supercoach winner 2012 Johnny Bruin has put his Bruin manoeuvre up this week. The title of it, Don't Panic. Absolutely stunning article, and you must get your nose all over that one.
Hi Jock, Jesse here. Loving the podcast this year, taking off on your good work last year. Great stuff. Now Mr. Jock, last week I briefly touched on Jack Nunes, how we should all get rid of him. But I kind of regret that call making it now, because have a look at all the other defenders out there. No one is looking like a solid pick this year. Should we all hold off with our underperforming defenders to find out who the cream of the crop are? Because Brody Smith was looking like to be the D1 this year, but now he's had a few sloppy weeks. Should we hold off for a few more weeks to see who are the prime candidates, or should we just take a risk on a Tom McDonald or Cale Hooker? Thanks, Jock.
G'day, Jesse. Very solid regular contributor to Community Night since we started here last year, so it's always good to get your call-ins, mate. And that sort of leads on from what Dexter was saying. Don't trade out Jack Nunes because you'll lock in your loss. He's not playing terrible football. He's definitely collecting enough ball, but he's just not using it well, and that'll come. He will continue to roll through the midfield, so don't get rid of him. Because, like you say a Tom McDonald, you're going to go to someone else who hasn't got the pedigree and proven long-term performance behind him. And I agree with what you were touching on there, Jesse. Let's wait to see what pans out in the defence. My personal opinion is I'm not touching defence very much at all. I will wait to see what pans out back there, and I'll upgrade there as the true phoenixes rise from the ashes to be selected.
Hey there, community. Just a bit of possible captaincy wisdom for you. Since the start of last year, Nat Five has had only 2 scores below 100. In one of those games, he was injured in the first quarter, and in the other, he still managed 29 disposals. Cheers, Jock.
I think you're spot on, mate, and I believe we can look forward to many years of absolute silken captaincy significance from the Anointed One, the one who came before the one before him, Nathaniel Fyfe.
Hello, Todd Goldstein, eh? My trading plans had him coming in around 8, 9, 10. Because I was predicting that given the new ruck rules, ruck scoring systems, I mean, his points would drop then when he lost a bit of form towards mid-season. His disposals went down, so it didn't matter if he had loads of hit-outs, he wouldn't be scoring very well. But his form is too good to ignore, and I'm worried I'm falling behind the pack too much by not having him in as of yet. Should I get him in this week? If I were to get him in, I'd be trading out Salem for Tarrant and Belly up to him, but... Yeah, not sure what to do. I could just conserve trades and not trade anyone. I don't have any problems elsewhere, and I'm stumped. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right, mate. It's okay to be stumped, and the first step is coming forward to your community and admitting it. That's fine. As I said before, yeah, he looks to be, and he's probably likely to end the season as a number one ruckman, but he's averaging about 130 this year. I'm going to say I don't think he can average that for the rest of the season. Looking back to his previous best seasons, we've known he's been a quality ruckman, and this is pre the change to the ruck scoring. His best has been 113, 113, and 106 average for a season. So expect a little lull from him at some stage. I personally, even if I had the money, I'd be putting some real thought about whether I would be bringing him in. I just don't want to prioritise my ruck trading. Open yourself up to too much carnage.
G'day, Jock. Just on the defence, I think people need to start having a look at Corey Enright. I know he's getting old and all, but he's racking up the bill. I've had him since the start, and I've been very pleased. I thought he was going to give me solid 80s, but he's giving me solid 90s and went over the ton last week. So, Corey Enright is a good defence often, you guys. Get on him.
Good evening, fellas. It's Jamie. Give you a few options. We've got Stephen Martin, Shane Edwards from Richmond, Michael Riscatelli. All three are a reasonable price if you're looking to trade. And a warning, he who hunts two rabbits catches none. So don't go chasing the high scores of yesteryear. Focus on consistency. Best of luck this weekend. Take care.
He who chases two rabbits catches none. I love it, Jamie. Thank you, Jamie and Brenton, for your wisdoms. That's about all I've got time for, community. Attack this weekend like snarling mongrel dogs. Go hard, be logical, and enjoy your fantasy footy. And we've had a late one in from Big Ben. We'll allow Big Ben just to take us out of the weekend very shortly. Moneyball this weekend. They've got a big ass $4,500 Moneyball contest this weekend. $10 on the table. I'll have a link in the show notes so you can jump on there. We've also got the Jock Reynolds contest. We've got a Sunday Lazy Lobster this weekend. So $20 in, 50 positions available there. So come and have the Sunday contest. And we've also got the Full Monty the whole weekend contest for Moneyball as well if you want to have yourself a crack at that new format. Thank you, community. I just want to say a very special thanks again to Crave Designs, who sponsored the community podcast for the first 5 weeks of the season. He's a really good bloke, Craig, and I just want to say thank you very much for your support, Craig. And if you could get around him, community, hit the banner or go to cravedesigns.com.au. He's got real bloody good water features there. Let's try and get a few out the door for Craig this week. Thanks again, mate. Community, have a wonderful weekend. Over to Big Ben.
'Twas the night before round 5, and all on my team. Not a whisper of skinflute has been dropped, it seems. It's the second time now, in that many rounds, that he'll provide me a donut. But what have I found? Peony to Cracker, Lamb to R. Tarrant. I'm wasting my trades, and much is apparent. My primos won't fire, they've been underperforming. But week after week, I swear to God, my team's reforming. It won't get me down, I promise you this. I've got my friends by my side, my community, my wish. Then out of the shadows, I feel the immunity. My team, my life, my fantasy community. Let's all work together and get through hard times. Trade careful but true, just like this rhyme. So I sit here now, in front of my list, knowing that no matter what, I'll get the better of this. I'll trade with cohesion, I'll do what I can. But I'm only one person, a Supercoach fan. So let's gather around the community fire, share a few beers. Because you know what, community? It's you that I admire. Regards, Big Ben.